The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
My name is Gus.
What up? Another episode of In Godfrey We Trust. You know how I do, boy. Oh, my God, dog. I tell you, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. My skin looks good. People say, what's your skin routine? None of your fucking business, because I want yours to stay raggedy. Yeah, son. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, your forehead big. No, my skin's better than yours. That's all I'm telling you. What you say? Oh, there it is. It's very low, though, the sound effects. But, yo, I'm happy to be here. Always happy to be here. You know what I'm saying? You guys want to know. George Carlin, you know how I do with my T-shirt game all day long. It's always good. And I just want to give a shout-out to Tampa. Thank you for coming out this past weekend. Tampa, Funny Bone now, because they're buying all the, they're changing all the improvs, I think, to Funny Bones now. Thank you all for coming out. Appreciate you, Ybor City. You guys came the fuck out. I appreciate that shit. And then in 2 weeks, it's going to be Dallas, May 2nd to the 4th, Addison Improv in Dallas, Dallas-Fort Worth. All right, for all you Texans out there, yeehaw! Got my man. Oh, Dante Nero in the building. Dante Nero.
What up, my friend.
Dante Nero. And sitting right next to him, the legendary. I tell you, he just showed up, man. I didn't expect him to be in a basement with us. Just walking down the street. Just walking down the
street. We say, hey. I heard your loud ass. Yeah,
I said, hey, that Malik Yoba, that guy's an actor. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is in the bottom of a tenement.
Malik Yoba in the building.
What's up, man?
Malik. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, living legend is what I say, Malik Yoba. That's what I'm talking about, man. I don't know why this thing usually works.
Is the volume on?
Is it the volume?
The thing that plugs in might be dead.
It might be dead? Jesus Christ.
Just crank the volume as loud as it goes.
Crank the volume? Damn, man.
Does that make it sound effects and shit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right.
Nah, that's like three people that showed up. Fucked up.
Digital people.
I know. All right. That's all good, though, man. Welcome to my podcast, bro.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, he called me yesterday.
Yeah.
Said, yo, man.
Well, we've been talking about doing this, man,
for a long time. The last time I hung out with you was like you with your children. Upper West Side.
They were little.
Barnes and Noble.
Now they're old and...
Old and got the fuck...
old and dusty. Yeah. But no, bro, I told you I saw that post you did, man. And somebody reposted it, and I was like, you know what? Let me hit our manager.
Yo, we have the same manager. Yeah, he's had him longer than I have, I think.
Yeah.
Kieran, shout out to Kieran McGuire. Just a little white man that just busts his ass.
Yeah.
He goes, Godfrey, I'm telling you, you're gonna wait till you get something. I tell you.
Thanks, yeah, Kieran. That's his motivational speech. If you book it, you know you'll be on a show.
You got it. If you book it, you got it.
People are like, this is a perfect role for you. I go, am I getting it? No, you gotta still read for it. Well, fuck, dude.
I don't think he actually reads the shit.
I don't either.
He's like, bro, did you read this shit?
No, he didn't read this shit.
No, but it's great. Did you read the motherfucker?
Says big white dude.
Are managers supposed to read the material?
They used to, man.
They yeah. used to actually care.
It's like A&R used to actually develop artists.
Yeah, that's not
the managers. It depends on the manager. The folks are busy. I don't fuck.
Well, I don't. You know, it's all. It's almost like the Wild West now.
Yeah.
Every man and woman.
Did you read
himself.
The article?
The article.
I thought I sent it to you.
You didn't send
After we
shit.
Talked about just the state of the business?
You didn't send it to me. No, you
what
didn't.
What the fuck?
You got to send me that article, man. The state of the business. Yeah, the state of the business.
Oh, you know what? I sent it to this cinematographer today.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a cinematographer, of course.
Yeah. No, it's Kieran actually sent it to me. It's just the state of the business post the strike, which is a fucked up state of affairs.
It's so fucked. Because isn't not everything has been satisfied, right? Still?
Well, no, it's really just the contraction of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, folks thought we could protest higher earning opportunity and more rights, you know, protections against AI and shit like that.
Yeah.
But the reality is you have all these streamers, right?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's trying to chase Netflix and folks spent billions of dollars trying to do it.
Yeah.
And it did not pay off. Paramount. No. Plus, Disney Plus,
right.
BET Plus.
A lot of pluses.
Yeah, a lot of minuses.
A lot of minuses.
when the pluses add up to minuses,
right.
You know you fucked
but
up.
But isn't it two minuses equal?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's what it is. And so like a lot of content that would have come out 23, 24 is pushed to 25.
Okay.
So comparatively speaking, like 10 years ago, there were 100 pilots around this time. We're in April.
Yes, of course.
This year there were 3.
Wow. Get the
And all
fuck.
3 were at ABC.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, folks aren't working, and that's why you got to have your own.
Man.
You got to have your own shit.
Let me ask you, with the streaming, with all the ideas of the streaming, I feel like the opportunity widen the scope of
supposedly
more diverse, but
supposedly.
Well, it's also expanded the cost.
Right.
So if you have more output, right? More expenses.
Yeah.
And then things don't click.
Right.
Then you've just burnt through a lot of cash.
Wow.
And so it's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I noticed this too. And when we were looking at all the different platforms, you look at your, you know, when you turn, you're like, wow, there's a lot of platforms, but it's the same motherfuckers same on shit. All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same motherfuckers. It's like Brad Pitt, now he's wearing a wolf mask. The fuck is that? Right. You know what I'm saying? It's the same people. I guess it's almost like to get things started, they got to use big names first.
Well, that's always a thing. And a big name is relative. I've been a big name and I've been a no name.
Yeah.
Today.
Right.
Yeah.
Like not last week, like today. It's like, oh no, it's perfect. We can get this funded if you're in it. Well, actually, we can't get it funded if you're in it. So.
Wow.
But that's why, you know, my daddy always said, build your own generator so when they turn off the power, you still have lights.
Man, see?
So
like your daddy.
I've been, you know, entrepreneur mode forever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of taken over a lot of.
And I know people in the chat know the man, they go Malik Yoba. You guys know Malik Yoba. I mean, New York Undercover, Cool Runnings, everybody talks about. That's the first time I knew about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yul Brynner?
31 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn.
So this is the 31 years ago.
That's 31 crazy. Years ago. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Everybody knows Cool Runnings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I ran into Dougie Doug when I was audience coordinator for The Cosby Show.
That
was,
wow.
Yeah. That was my first job out of Chicago. 98.
Was it
97?
Oh,
it was
after Cool Runnings.
Not the it's after that. Not the first Cosby Show, but the second one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On CBS.
That Mos Def was on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that
Cosby Mystery Series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was my first, like, gig out of Chicago. I got that, you know, hey, you're going to be, like, warming up the Cosby. But I was like, oh?
Yeah.
You know, because I was with William Morris at the time, and Cosby chose comedians and William Morris. And I did it for, like, 6 months. That was the year his son was murdered. I was there.
Ooh.
I was there.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Queens, Long Island City, I was living.
Right.
Mike Epps, my roommate.
Wow.
Damn right.
And yeah. You're going to get another call about
whether
that.
He likes it or not.
Yeah.
He was my
Every
roommate.
Every time
at the
he
time.
Says Mike Epps was my roommate, Mike, yo, stop telling people that. I'm like,
you had to live somewhere.
Yeah.
Might as well live with you.
Leslie Jones was sleeping on my couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all start somewhere, man.
I think it's a dope ass, like, you're successful now, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, man.
So that's how that happened. And you cool runnings. When did you start acting, though, bro?
As a little kid, man. Yeah, saw Alice. Actually, I feel like I saw it somewhere down here, actually. Mm-hmm. Saw a play, Alice in Wonderland, as a four-year-old. I was like, that's what I want to do. But growing up doing theater, you know.
Okay, you're a real, see, you're, oh, real, you're a real theater. Did you go to a theater high school? Like
so
Fame?
I my father would not let me audition for Fame.
He didn't want you to be Gene Ackley, right?
Sorry. He wouldn't let me audition for Performing Arts High School.
Why is that?
Because he did not believe that. He used to say you can't make money off your God-given talents, which is crazy. As a Muslim, that's what he would say. He would blame it on religion.
Black Muslim.
But I think it had something to do with the fact that he came to New York at 15 to pursue music.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't quite go the way he wanted it. And I think he tried to try to protect us from disappointment. Yeah. But it worked out.
How many siblings?
Six of us.
Dang.
Yeah, with no TV in the house. Like,
damn, your father didn't play that shit.
Oh, no, my father was... Yoba means last of the slaves, a new generation. Shit. That's a name that he made up.
I love that
No, he gave meaning to it. But, you know, you grow up being told, if we were in Africa, you'd be kings and queens, princes and princesses.
That's awesome.
And I believe that. Like, it wasn't oh, that's a nice thing to say. It was like, oh, okay, thanks. Like,
No,
like, so I'd walk around with a certain amount of pride.
Sure, yeah,
so,
no doubt. You
know, which is really important. But yeah, man, it's. But he was always like Bill Jones shit.
Where'd you come from? Where'd he migrate from?
No, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I thought he was Caribbean, a little Caribbean.
He migrated from Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
So you're people are regular black, right? Yeah.
Are you regular black?
Look, we all coming from one.
No doubt.
I mean,
the immediate family.
Not Caribbean or nothing like that.
You mean where we were enslaved and dropped off?
No.
I always say I'm part coconut, part cornbread. You know, like my mom's from the South, but my dad was from Antigua.
Okay.
So, you know.
I thought you'd be like part Jamaican, you know, because New York
is not. That's on my mother's side. So, Jamaican, Guyanese.
Well, this is what I mean.
She was
born in Harlem.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that was. Yeah.
But she still was. That's her.
Yeah, it's in the lineage. Yeah. Yeah. And obviously I'm connected and, you know. But
yeah. But I was going to say, being that the pro blackness has always been in you, instilled, right? See, me being Nigerian, brother, see, I started getting really pro-black in college because I was like, I told my dad, I'm going to go see Minister Farrakhan, that guy Farrakhan, because on TV they made him out to be this dude.
Yeah,
and all they showed was excerpts of him yelling, and I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm like, I think I'm going to go see him because in college at University of Illinois, which was like 40,000 students, 800 were black of us. We all stuck together. We started getting militant, start reading real books and shit. So I go, I'm going to go see Farrakhan when I get back to Chicago. And so I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm going to go see Farrakhan. He said, you mean the guy that doesn't like you have to be careful because he doesn't like, you know, Jewish people. He doesn't like these people. So just be careful now. Where I'm going where? I lived on the north side of Chicago, but the south side was always like all the black people were on the south side. Black people were everywhere. They say, he said, where is his thing? I said, it's on the south side. Now it's the south side. You have to, there's gangs there. I said, Dad, you work on the west side. You work amongst disciples and vice lords. He's like, I know, but it's different.
Different,
but,
yeah.
That is not the same.
That's not the same.
That is not the same.
Not the same danger.
They are. I want for you to be careful because you can't get killed.
You cannot get killed. It was always just. My father always used just. They will just shoot you.
They will shoot you.
They will just stab you
because that is what they do. And I want for you to be. You have to be safe.
I remember my father always used the word ruffians, which I think is. My father said, when I tell you to come in the house, you know, you have to come down. You can't just be out there like ruffians.
No, but what is this rubbish? What is this rubbish that you are talking about?
Godfrey. For what? You just be out there. They just be. My father, when he imitated
African Americans. It was the people like,
yo, that's hilarious.
But it'd be so like, they just be like, hey, man, what's going on, man? They do this, the handshake, they comb in the hair like this, walking like this.
My father was funny. We'd be laughing. He'd be laughing. He'd go like this. It just be coming rough like this. And that's me shaking
the ruffians. Yeah. Why is it that you have to walk? Why you have to walk this way? That is not the proper thing to do. That is not the proper way to walk. And therefore...
And my father was like, always, like, if I said, Dad, can we get like a part? And he said, just one. Only one, because the other guy, they just be having arrows going this way. And then the police will just take you and put you in jail.
Rest in peace to my dad, for real. Man, my dad.
He's hanging out with my father.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with your pops. Rest
Who are you, Yoba?
Rest in
I
peace.
Want to know, where you come with the name Yoba? What is this? What is this Yoba?
And I used to always, when I would tell my father about like African Americans, when they would change their names to African names, my father would say, well, I don't know what part of Africa they are, but it's okay.
Your identity, man.
Yeah, identity is no joke. Yeah. No joke. Let's take a second to talk to you about our newest sponsor, a company everyone has been loving here around the office, the all-natural smoking wrap company, King Palm. A leader in the smoking industry with their tobacco-free palm blunt wraps, King Palm is proud that their wraps are the cleanest and most fresh in the industry. Their staple product is an empty leaf tube with a pre-installed filter tip. There is no need to lick it and roll it. All you need to do is pack it with the finest legal herbs of your choice. In addition to the leaf tubes, they also have a huge line of the popular terpene-infused flavor palm rolls. The cool thing about their flavor palm is the capsule in the filter tip, so you can activate the flavor anytime during your smoke with a simple squeeze and pop. They offer rollable wraps, hemp cones, and all the essential smoke accessories you could ever need. Super smooth smoke, easy to use, and you can order them at kingpalm.com, your local smoke shop, and even at any 7-Eleven. King Palm was the pioneer of the natural leaf wrap, and now they're one of the best-selling brands in smoke shops across America. Check them out on socials and use our discount code Godfrey for 20% off at kingpalm.com. This is the perfect product to add to your smoking lineup. See the full lineup of products at kingpalm.com. And don't forget to use promo code Godfrey. Take the natural path with King Palm.
But another thing I want to say, you being pro-black, did it ever like, because I know you were
actually,
doing...
here's the funny part. Yeah. Okay, ask
no,
the question.
No, go ahead.
No. I don't want to preempt
Did it ever affect, because like me, the way I carry myself, the way Dante carries himself, in this business, they know they can't come with the fucking okey-doke. I'm just the way I carry myself and how I talk. Was that ever, did you always carry that confidence as an actor? Because I always saw it, I was like, oh, this dude's a bad motherfucker right here. You know what I mean?
No, there's definitely, confidence. Because again, how you were raised, right, with a sense of, in fact, my father's mission was when you graduate high school, you're moving to Africa. He wanted to move. he wanted to move.
Marcus Garvey.
He wanted to move our entire family to Africa. So my father was absolutely... A pan-Africanist, black nationalist.
Yes.
No TV in the house. Yeah. I don't want white people to tell you how to think. Here are these books. Yeah. And the books were like on Nat Turner, Siddhartha.
Hell yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Books on Malcolm X autobiography.
You had to go to the
roots.
There was the black bookstore. They had the little black bookstore where you had to get the books.
So he was definitely ISIS papers, shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Frances Cress Welsing, we brought her to my college. Frances Cress Welsing, also Daruba Ben Wahad, who was in the black.
You got to connect.
Wait, Daruba Ben Wahad was in the Black Panthers with Tupac Shakur's mom, Afeni. Because I watched the documentary and I see Ben Wahad and I go, and Sister Soldier, we brought her in. We raised money to bring these cats in.
Yeah.
Ajwa Kwesi, another historian of African history. Ajwa Kwesi, Fundishi and Patanishi. We brought a lot of cats in.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's important, man. Yeah. You know, so the irony is, growing up in the city.
Yeah.
This city, right? Okay. I lived in this neighborhood just on the block. We're on 6th Street. I used to live on A and Houston back in like 89.
Look at that.
So growing up in the city, right, born in the South Bronx, in our neighborhood in the South Bronx, we had Italian, had Irish, you had Puerto Ricans and blacks.
Right.
So already you are a diverse neighborhood. Lil Richie, the family, the last name was Head, the Head family. And so Richie was my best friend. We were like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
First girl I ever kissed was his sister, Patty. Mm. Right? So you grew up with this sense of, I didn't call it cultural pluralism as a kid, but I was definitely exposed to all cultures.
And
because we didn't grow up with television, and it was like the National Geographic subscription, encyclopedias.
Yeah.
As a curious kid, I'm like traveling the world,
thinking
about, I wonder where my wife's going to be. And I'd open a map to, they would come in the National Geographic, close my eyes and point, like, Madagascar, or whatever the fuck. Yeah. I didn't think she'd be in the Bronx or Harlem.
She might have been from Madagascar.
As a kid, this is what I used to think about, I really thought about the world, and I want to travel and see things, and I always wanted what was different.
Yes.
Right? And so I was actually much more interested in, can't we all just get along kind of thing.
No, of course.
But what has happened over time, the rose-colored glasses come off a little bit, and you start seeing things for what they really are, and you, especially when you travel the world, and you see no matter where we've been, enslaved and dropped off, it's the same narrative.
Right.
Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck is that? Why is that?
Yeah.
Right? And so whether working in media, whether working in corporate, I'm heavy, heavy in the real estate game, you see, covenants, right? Mm-hmm. Like there were times we could not live in this neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you start seeing things for what they are, you can't help, but other people will call it militant. I think it's just passionate pursuit of truth.
That's it.
Right. And so making sure that, one, you're educated, that you just aren't angry for the sake of anger, but you say, okay, this is the conditions. What do I need to do to affect change, not just for me, for other people, so that we can see the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you have a purview of the world as it truly is, then you can make different chess moves.
That's
right. And not just sit around being pissed off because, for whatever it is, we talked a lot about Africa just a minute ago. But what was the world like when Mansa Musa was the wealthiest man on the planet in the 13th century? We don't have that point of reference.
No.
Our point of reference starts much later than that. And so it's painful to see what it is. But at the same time, I think when you're raised with somebody who gives you a name, right, like last of the slaves, a new generation, that so you move with... it's like what Bob said, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. So we've never been enslaved, right, as a family.
Yes.
There's always a sense of the world belongs to me because it is. It
no
just
doubt.
Is. So there's that.
That's what's up.
Power is perceived. A lot of times it's the fact that we feel limited. People feel limited because they're not educated enough to know that there's more than this. So when you say Mansa Musa, there's a lot of people that are listening that have no idea that was the richest man
ever on
the planet. Literally destabilized Europe gave away so much gold that he destabilized Europe.
Yeah.
And nobody would even know that.
Right.
And I feel like, when people talk about we need to buy black, we need to do, and all of those things are true. But what we're already coming from a place of lack of education. I think the only way that we really rise is that we have to have a Jewish school, but a black school.
Yeah, like the
Israelites. The Israelites on the corner. I'm just kidding.
Because we got
little brothers in the purple outfit yelling all the time.
Man, it'd be 9,000. There would be no
moment high. Looking like the five deadly venoms.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I know some of those guys.
Yeah, we're people talk about reparations, and the reality is we have to repair self.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And so there's so much that we're working through. It's important what you do, right? Obviously, not only the performer, but the humor, right? The way you make a way into people's hearts and minds and souls through making them laugh. Like you talked about on the phone last night. You talked about what does forgiveness look like? It looks like jazz. It looks like blues. It looks like hip hop, right? The ways that we have been in a pressure cooker, but out of that, we've made diamonds. Some of us have pressure bust pipes or make diamonds.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of busted pipes, but there's a whole lot of diamonds.
Yeah.
I think that's what you have to latch on to. And, I think that for anybody who ever feels, some kind of way about someone thinking that they're superior, you got to ask yourself, Really? Like, if right. you truly are superior.
Right.
Like, you know.
Why you got your foot on my neck.
Right, exactly. Like, you don't have to really hold people back.
Right, if you're that dope.
So I think it's just focus on self, work on educating each other, working together, and
I think it's, I call it mental infrastructure that we got to work on.
Sure.
The infrastructure first. And then, you know what I mean?
Then the credit, right. then the blah, blah.
Then the,
but if you don't have a...
But when people say, come on, man, black business, man, buy it from me. I'm like, but you fucked up. But you just said, man, come on, man, I'm selling socks and shit. I got T-shirts, man, with Black Panther on it, baby. Yeah. I got that. See, no, it's like we got to have knowledge of self. And it sounds like cliche and corny, but it's so fucking real.
Yeah.
Now, and you know what's great about the internet? It's one thing. There's so much history. These kids, but I'm saying these kids are making these videos. Do you know who the first blah, 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 blah? It's young motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Shit's going viral. They can't stop the knowledge.
It's also a situation where, like, if you don't know this stuff at this point, you're willfully trying to be dumb. Like, when we came up, you had to go to the library and search. You had to go to Harlem, 132nd Street, go to the Black Bookstore and get it and dig it up. Or the guys that had the tables on the streets.
Yeah.
You literally have the world in your. I was talking to Kareem the other day, and he.
No, a dude named Kareem. Tell him Kareem.
He's a comic. Kareem is a comic.
That was my barber, Kareem.
He's a comic.
Right.
And he, you know, I call him an X-Men because he fell into every pitfall that black people could foster care, single parent home, alcohol, whatever the fuck, and came out the other side, which is what makes him he's a superhero,
right,
really.
Right,
yeah.
Because he didn't miss any of the pitfalls, right? And still on the other side, you know, reading and growing and stuff, which is just dope. But you know, I'm talking to him on the phone and we're debating about something. I forget what we're taking, and he says, oh, well, let me wait. Cause you got to go look it up now. Cause I will stop.
Right. Just to fact check.
Yeah. And even not just to fact check, just the word. Like, so I do a relationship thing, right? I do a relationship podcast. Been doing it for about 10 years. And I was like, let me look at, you know, we talk about in relationships, compromise, right? And I looked up the word compromise, and what compromise means is that neither party gets what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It is that we both make concessions. It's not me doing what you want me to do so you can shut the fuck up.
Right.
And when you just understand the word itself, it changes the whole dynamic of, you're not willing to compromise. No, we both are supposed to be unhappy with this decision.
Or understanding you making the choice, it's like that saying, like, you know, no one gets full, but no one goes hungry.
Right,
right,
exactly,
right,
exactly.
Right.
If we got that one banana right there, so you're gonna get a little. We're gonna break it.
We all gonna get a little bit.
We ain't gonna be full, but
we ain't gonna be happy that we have it all.
Right.
But we all, but in that growth, we both make the compromise. So
yeah, man. That's like shoot, because I know for me. People will be like, yo, you know, because people are always going to compare you to other comedians and their rise. And they go, you know, you're in the street. And cats, when you got garbage, when you got city workers stopping to say something to you, that's when you know you got an effect.
Right.
Yeah. Motherfucking garbage truck, like,
Yo,
listen.
Makes a difference.
Man, you need to, man, I don't even know.
Or the homeless person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that, like,
they got a phone.
Oh, yeah.
No, bro. Like, my whole career, I've always listened to homeless. Yeah. I'd be like, yo, how the fuck are you watching? but I believe you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there's nothing in it for you to tell me that you appreciate what the work is.
Or
older people, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like the elders that will come to you and say, young man, you know.
It's like,
I really appreciate you.
Oh, man.
And you go,
feels good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though sometimes a lot of this shit can make you mad because it's always fucked up when you're, okay, here's the thing I do for my psychology. I watch like old reruns of shit, like Dick Van Dyke. I watch The Honeymooners. I watch really old shit. I watch Kojak all the time. I'm always watching Kojak and Columbo. Because I know that none of my friends will be on any of these episodes.
None.
It's 1955. No blacks were allowed. Good.
You might get Nipsey Russell on there.
I make sure I go, nobody I hate is going to show the fuck up. I said, the Connie Mooners, fuck these people. Yo, did you watch that new series? Nope.
Nope.
Someone's going to show up and I'm going to get pissed.
Do you really get pissed?
If it's some, okay, here's an example, like that 1883 show with, it's Sam Elliott. You know that guy Taylor who's written about Tulsa? Taylor Sheridan. So 1883, I'm a Sam Elliott fan, so, and Tim McGraw, and I watched it. It was cool. And the dude that plays the black soldier, fantastic actor. I read for that part, but then when I saw him, I go, oh, shit, that guy's amazing. I was like, that's what I want to lose to.
Right.
You know what I mean? And because when he was talking, I said, wow, why do I know those lines? I know those fucking lines. I said, oh, shit, this is the project. Because it was untitled.
Right, at the time.
And then I said, oh, shit. I go, you know what? I didn't do too bad, but this guy's the real deal. Yeah.
That's how I felt when I saw Don Cheadle as Mouse.
Really? Oh,
I read for that role. Yeah. I was like, yo.
Devil in the blue dress.
I was like,
ooh, he was kind of, yeah.
Got that.
Yeah.
See, when I like if someone wins and I enjoy them winning.
Yeah, but sometimes, something will come along and.
Yeah.
Well, number one, what's for you will never go past you. So there's that.
Is that true?
What's for you will never go past you.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no.
Are we here?
Yeah.
Right now in this moment?
Yes, we are.
That's it.
It'll never. So I like
because
that.
Because it's the isness of it all. Like people get.
So
into
is this show isness?
Show isness.
Go ahead, do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, show isness. Show isness. That's why I try to tell people, motherfucker.
You know, I try to get him to do shit. That's why.
Shit, that's why I try to tell him, motherfucker. Don't be mad. Don't be mad.
No.
I always try to, I just give you alley oops so you can get into character.
But I think this is important to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of us competed with our parents to come out of our mother's womb.
Right.
When it's your turn to be born, it is your turn to be born. Nobody can ever take that from you.
Right.
And so I think it's important just because you said, what do I do for my psychology? Yeah. I think it's really, really important. Like, you didn't lose to the other actor. That was his gift. That was his opportunity.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so because while he's doing that, you were doing other things that you were supposed to do in that moment.
OK.
So there's that piece. And I think that. Because people use language like competition, like one of my least favorite things to do or hear is you'll hear actors go like, man, yo, I fucking murdered him in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, yo, are we not on the same team?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Like, the project's only going to be great if
when we all, right.
And so if you see somebody or you're working with somebody and they may be deficient in an area, you don't want to direct them,
right?
But you can encourage them.
Yeah.
You can go run lines with them off to the side,
help them out,
or do things that, alley oop things, right? You could go deeper into what you're doing to encourage, to elicit a response out of them that's going to lift their game up.
Right. Yeah,
but I've never ever thought about it as competition. Other people will try to do that shit. Like, yo, how come you not in? I'm like, yo, I'm cool. I'm good. Like, I'm really good.
Let's take a quick break to talk about one of our favorite sponsors here at the In Godfrey We Trust podcast, YoKratom.com. YoKratom is a longtime supporter of the Gas Digital Network for years now and are returning as the marquee sponsor for the Skankfest Comedy Festival. And there's a good reason. They're so popular. Now, if you're already part of the Kratom crowd, you know it can be a bit of a challenge to find a reliable, affordable source. That's where Yo Kratom comes in. These folks offer a kilo of Kratom for just $60. Yeah, you heard that right. A whole kilo for $60. That's kind of unheard of. But if you're buying Kratom, I'm telling you, you won't find it at a better price anywhere. They've got all the flavors of Kratom you could be interested in, whether you're looking to explore something new or stick with your favorite strain, they've got you covered. Just know that they're committed to providing a wide selection for whatever your preferences might be. When a company sticks by us, supports what we do, and offers our listeners an incredible deal like this, we think they deserve a shout out. Whether you're a seasoned Kratom enthusiast or just Kratom curious, head over to YoKratom.com and check out what they've got. Remember, a kilo for just $60. It's a deal that's hard to beat. Now let's get back to the show. Yeah.
Like, it's not about, so throughout my career, I've never, like, this whole list, right? A list.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's a list. There's a list.
Yeah. A list.
A list.
It's a little.
It's a list.
Right.
Lowercase.
Right. So who determines you become A-list, right? Because you could do a movie today that can make $1 billion, all of a sudden you're A-list.
Right,
because
right.
you were part of that movie. Yep. Even if you didn't write it, you didn't produce it.
True.
Right. So it's so subjective, right? Yeah. The same thing with awards, right? So you always see, you know, Emmy-nominated actor or Oscar nominee, but you never see Image Award nominee,
right?
So who's validating who we are?
Right.
You got to validate.
It's that white gaze.
You got to validate yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not about, because at the end of the day, if you don't own it, if you ain't controlling it, if you're not distributing it, you ain't write it, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's so
go
true.
Create some shit that's your, like, this is your, this you
yes,
created
sir. Yes, sir.
A world for yourself.
Yes, sir.
That you can continue to build off
yes,
of.
Yes, sir.
I think that's where people have it twisted.
But you learn that in hindsight, because when I first got here, you know, my manager was like, listen. My old manager is David Klingman, and TK Kirkland is the one that got me. He's like, listen, you got to get on that stage and you got to just work that stage. That's how you become a great comedian. And then everything else falls. He was actually right.
Yeah.
He says, you work that. And all we thought about was, I got to be the best performer. All this. Now, in hindsight, you didn't think about, let me start my own this. Let me create my own this. Because it was the basic traditional audition. Yeah. Do your best.
That's
get
right,
on stage.
You weren't raised by my daddy.
Damn.
Who told you to build your own generator so when they turn off the power lights. So that's just always been.
That program.
That's from me having a paper route in Harlem from 8 years old to 16.
Yeah.
Selling ices on the street, being a bike messenger, opening a restaurant, having a marketing company, having a theater company, now have a real estate development company.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been about build some shit that you could wake up every single day and go after and not. Say, well, hey, anything happening today, man?
Right.
And he'll do, what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
well,
you,
I mean, that's part of it, but that can't be all of it.
Right. I think we also are always looking for that, the approval of that white approval. So even when we
who's
talk
we?
About, I mean, not me either, but
I'm
talking about overall, it's this idea. It's like I've even stopped, you know, how people say you talk wrong. And then when you look at the word language is phrases, gestures that communicate a point. So if I'm from the South and I go, what's up, Wode? And you know what I'm saying, that's language. Right. That it is done what it was supposed to do. So when we as Black people, or when Black people go, oh, you didn't pronounce this right, or you didn't say this right, words are all arbitrary in the first place. We make them up. And then somehow, because it's not in the New England perspective of it, somehow this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And what happens is it's unacceptable until we stylistically make it popular, and then they just adopt
like
it.
They always do. Yeah. Like the American lexicon always
without
changed.
Black people
it's
would always, be
it'd be trash.
It'd be like this water.
Yeah.
They, like, can you imagine?
No, Black people. No, when I was in Tampa, I like tried out some shit. When I told you about the jazz, our forgiveness is jazz, our forgiveness, it was brand new. I said, fuck it, let me go for it. Because, you know, once you have them after like 20, 30 minutes, you go, okay, I'm about to go in.
Man,
so I was, here comes the race shit. So it was mixed, you know, I was like, all right, here I go. I said, you know what our forgiveness is? Jazz, boom, and the shit went, it worked. I was like, jazz, blues, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, God damn. I said, what did I say about, everything is African, bro.
You're welcome.
I said, the fact that you walk around is an African thing. We started walking first. So if you hold your breath, you're no longer African. But when you breathe, you're welcome. The shit worked because I went there. I said, everything's African.
Yeah, yeah.
Pissing is African.
Yeah, yeah.
Shitting is African.
Yeah.
We were first.
Yeah.
Thousands of years before you. So how in the fuck is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, telling us when we should be entered on some music we created? Yeah. How the fuck is that? That is the most, the inductees, because I think the Tribe is getting inducted this year.
Yeah.
Tribe, Mary J. Blige, Foreigner, you know. I go, how are you guys, a committee, telling
us who's worthy of
who
being
started it? Why isn't there a Black Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Yeah. There should be a Black one.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Fuck waiting on them.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy to me. And then Elvis, have you been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland?
No, but I'm going to Cleveland on Friday.
I've been there over 10 times.
Oh, wow.
I go and they all know me because they know I'm going to start talking shit. I go, that's not true. Why is Elvis's from here to here and James Brown? James Brown literally has his shoes and a shirt.
Shelf.
Yeah. And it's literally like, not even two times. Just
one time.
Didn't even take it to the bridge. The bridge broke. Can't even get across. Bobby, I don't know. But what's never as is, I got to get two pictures at least. You know what I'm saying? It's literally Elvis's is like, well, hee-ho. Oh, it's like, oh, fucking, and James Brown, you're like.
Who built the museum?
Yeah.
You're right.
It all goes back
right.
to.
You're right.
Listen, man.
You're right. I know.
We just, you know, I'm like a one-trick pony with this shit.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I said I don't be outside like that. I be in the crib. I'm working, man. Like,
yeah,
building
no
things.
Doubt.
Building
no
things,
doubt.
Man. Building things. Then no. I come out, I peek out and be like, oh, you know.
Would you call yourself Build a Black Bear?
I call myself Builder of People, Places, and Things.
There it is.
That is our slogan for Yoba Development. Builder of People, Places, and Things. And so, because when you think about it, we used to be the real estate.
Right?
We're the commodity.
When you think about commodity, stocks, bonds, all those things were all associated with enslaved people. And
yes.
So when you think about like real estate development, right, we are the commodity. Real estate.
Yes.
No, but not... We can commoditize ourselves now, right? But I'm talking about the education, right? Uh-huh. How do you empower people with information to say, you know, you're much more powerful than you think you are, and I'm going to put you up on game, and this is how this actually works and how you can enter these spaces. And so this is the most exciting time in my life.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I ain't going to lie. I love it, too, because I really took advantage of during the
pandemic,
and I was watching Dame Dash, you know, Dame was really making, he was just on point. So this dude was talking to him. I was just watching Dame. I would always go to his Instagram, his lives, because Dame's hilarious. No. And Dame was like, he's like, I'm going to tell you something, man, for real. See, I'm from Harlem, okay? And listen, this is the pandemic, okay? It's the pandemic. Everybody's at home, all right? If you ain't creating, you're a fucking bum. You should be creating, da da da. And I was like, thank you, Damon. Yeah. And I fucking went. And I gained mad followers. And I got it, you know, I had Lenny Kravitz send me a message. Nas sent me a message. Cause I was just putting out shit.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew I could do a lot of voices. Nobody knew. Because they gave the same three motherfuckers all the jobs.
Same like me, bro.
Yeah.
Same like
they don't know you. You're funny as shit.
That's why I wrote Harlem Hollywood, my one man show. Right, I played 15 different characters. In
wow.
So
yeah.
My original music. I did that right before the pandemic at the Apollo.
Yeah, you did do that shit.
But you got to create the platform to show the breadth of your talent.
Yeah.
You're incredibly talented, brother.
Thank you, man.
Incredibly
Thank
talented.
You. Appreciate
it. And so, why is it that other people like? Anyway, I ain't gonna say it.
No,
go ahead.
Just because people can't see.
Yeah.
And
so
blindfold, you know, they say the one-eyed man is king in the land of the blind people. Mm. And a lot of people walking around with one eye. And they think that, but they're making decisions, right, for other people. How many people tell, oh, man, come on, why you ain't funny? Man, you can't sing. Yeah. Really? What the fuck am I listening to you for?
Right.
Because you sound like a fucking idiot telling me that.
Right.
I don't know what my skill set is.
That's the program, and that's the foot on your neck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I always say if you look at the Apollo, black people are the only people that have a show where the dreamers come to get shitted on by the people who won't dream. People go Wednesday to shit on people's dreams as that's the support.
Yeah.
You know, and
damn,
and,
I had the Family Feud bell Now that right there, I'm gonna tell you this right now. My man Dante, boy, you got them sins, boy. You know what you done did, made me think, boy. That boy said,
What you say again? What was that? What
the Apollo?
You said the Apollo.
Black people,
because I used to host the Apollo.
Oh, we know.
And I know that I knew who was gonna do shit. Just tell you that dreams come by the dreamers that ain't dreaming and shit. That's what you done did.
Yeah.
Is that the music?
I can barely. Why is it so low?
All right, yo, we at 11:28. I gotta get my parking.
Oh shit, your parking. Yo. Oh, so
yo, it's the remnants of COVID. It was 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then you gotta like,
now you can need a spot.
I paid the same fucking money. Yo, so out of parking.
So you have a real estate building company. What's that about? When did you start it?
Started Yoba Development in 2007.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, some lies. I got involved with development in 2007.
Okay.
I started Yoba Development in 2017.
Okay.
2018, I was shooting a show called God Friended Me, where I was playing a real estate developer of affordable housing in Harlem. And the character was saying a lot of the same shit I say in real life about the importance of having a seat at the table. And then while filming the show in Brooklyn, across the street is an entire city block, a friend of mine, one of these third generation developers, Scott Reckler, was developing down a block of the projects. And I thought about how many people walk from the projects, past construction sites, past the film sets, have no idea about either space. And in that moment, I felt like I heard real estate filmmaking young people. I didn't know what it was going to be. I just knew that those are three of my passions, working with young people in education since I was 16, tutoring kids in Harlem.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, you know, just that whole journey from a teenager to young adult,
yeah,
working in community, been in entertainment and media for 30 plus years. And then in development at the time, it was like 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it was really an opportunity to bring three passions together. And so that became the basis of how I wanted to approach the development game by saying, you know what? I want people to see what I see.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take some cameras and I'm going to follow like a day in the life, like, you know, a la Anthony Bourdain. You can get into culture and food.
Or yeah.
Culture through food.
Yeah.
So I want to get to business through telling these stories of these people that look like us that no one knows who the hell they are. Thought about, like, you know, before Food Network, who the hell was Emeril Lagasse?
Right.
Or, you know, Guy Fieri, any of these people.
Right.
The power of storytelling on film. And so... shared the concept with a woman who's now my chief of staff. Her name is Leslie Ann Dunn. And she, 2 days later, handed me a deck and I said, I build New York. So she took my concept and articulated it at the level where I felt like, oh, the thought became a thing. Mm. So I took that to my developer friend. And he's like, you know what? We've been trying to figure out how to bring more diversity into the business. I'll fund it. And when he said that, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna shoot a doc.
Right.
Because originally it was just gonna be like a summer program. And then 2019, shot this doc over 6 weeks from the Hamptons to Newburgh, New York. Took 7 young people of color with me. And then I created a 10-part series that really explores the ecosystem of the game. And then began to share it with community.
When you say the game, you mean real estate, but developing real estate.
Yeah, like who? Whether it's architects, engineers, finance,
or just every aspect of it,
the ecosystem of how we walk around, and go, man, here they go building some shit we can't afford. Well, who's they?
Right.
Who's how do we become that?
Yes,
right.
Well, wow, if you don't grow up in a family where this is the conversation at the dinner table, if you don't go to school for it, how else can you be put on?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with the background in education, arts education specifically, I knew the power of being able to use film to do that. And so, long story short, that became like the Trojan horse, right? So last couple of years, I've been in almost 50 cities screening my doc. And back to what we talked about earlier, the isness of it all. I already knew I'm not going to try to convince someone in Hollywood that, can you stream this for me? No, I'm going to take it to community. I'm going to take it to high schools, colleges, build relationships. So now we've got development deals from Chicago to Augusta, New York, Baltimore, where I started. You know, my brothers, shout out to Dan Bythewood and Ian Arias, who have been my brothers, but also my teachers, right?
Yeah.
Both of them cats are younger than me, right? And so, and I think that's really important, right? No matter where the education can come from.
Yeah. Period.
Right.
That's right.
Just sit down, be humble, learn it. Right. And now,
are you like, because of the doc, is it opening up young people's minds to the fact that they can be in the business?
So we started the first real estate development curriculum for high school students here in New York.
Nice.
A pilot that serviced 8 high schools last year through a place called the Brooklyn Steam Center, which actually services the 8 schools. So I'm real proud of the young people that we gave exposure to. Like one kid, shout out to Dante Brathwaite.
Dante!
He was 18 years old last year on March 23rd, 2023. We started the program. Day one, you ask the kids, well, why did you join this program? And they go, well, you know, I heard you make a lot of money. I missed my last like internship program. My father's in real estate. I want to learn more. So Dante said he wanted to be a developer. I said, have you ever met one before? He says, no. I said, well, you did today. Dante went through the program. He was about to graduate. Wasn't sure about what he wanted to do with college. Got him a full paid internship last summer with Heinz Development. Shout out to Nakia Shaw who facilitated that. Dante was hired full time, joined the union. Now he has an opportunity for the company to pay for him to go to college. He's 19 years old.
Fuck.
Changed the trajectory of his life.
That's right.
My guy Vaughn Thorpe, who was on the block in Harlem when we shot the doc, you know, Vaughn was on the block.
Yeah.
Right? Knew nothing, but he had a part time job working in a restaurant, saw me, introduced himself to me.
Yeah.
I liked his look.
Right.
Like, and the fact that he was aware of who Philip Payton was. Philip Payton was the first real estate developer in Harlem in 1904. I was like, yo, how do you know about this dude? He's like, oh, I was researching Bumpy Johnson. I found out about this dude. I was like, yo, show up on this date. Here's my number. And show up. And he showed up.
Wow.
He became the star of the piece.
Wow.
He's off the block. He's now living in L.A. Oh. Got his real estate license.
Crazy.
Dope.
Cut his hair. Got him his first suit supply.
Nice.
Introduced him to a brother named Munir Ali, who runs a company called Playa Realty, the most successful, for the last 10 years, the number one brokerage in the state of California, black-owned.
Black-owned. Black,
not just black-owned successful, the most successful in the state.
Period.
Period.
Right.
Damn.
By volume, right?
Wow.
By sales.
I got to know about that.
So Vaughn is now under the leadership of the CEO, who I introduced him to in January. So we're transforming lives in a real way, but more importantly, we transform, not more importantly, I think, because that's the first level. I always say builder of people, places, and things. So that has led to partnerships all over the country. Now I'm working in Brazil. Just came back from there in South Africa. I'm back in South Africa next week.
Nice.
But the opportunity to, it can only happen through partnership. Like you talked about, we need our own Jewish school. Well, there is a school of thought that's emerging, right, where people really see the value of how do we cross-pollinate with each other to lift as we climb, right?
Yeah.
And so only through partnership am I able to, have the level of successes and opportunities, not just here in New York, but around the country and around the world, because there's a lot of us that are thinking the same way.
Yeah.
But if you're not out there in these streets, in these, you know, at conferences or in these schools, you'd miss that. And so back to the power of storytelling. So everybody can't be in all these spaces.
Right.
So it's important to document it, push it out. And so it becomes symbiotic, right? The content educates, creates opportunity for business, and it just continues to refuel itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why I say it's the best time of my life, because it's the obedience to the vision, right? You said when you heard Dame say what he said, you were like, oh, clue, do, go.
Yeah.
Right.
Exponentially you grew.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's the part that, one, a lot of people are fearful of, right? You get the download, but you don't act on it. Right. And you might look up and somebody, like, I had the same fucking
it's
idea.
The fail, it's the failure thing. You've been
you gotta show up.
They've trained us to be dependent.
To be afraid. Yeah. And when you see people in your spaces that look like you, you go, oh, oh, I could do that.
Exactly. You know, well, I used to look at Magic, right? Magic was running around open TGI Fridays, Starbucks. And I used to say, like, yo, one day I'm gonna be like that, bro.
Right.
I love the way he pivoted from basketball into business.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this dude like, yo, and I remember going to Canyon Johnson, which was the his development company, and sitting in the lobby, like trying to get time, like, yo, man, I want to learn how you did that shit because I want to do that. And so it was brothers like Dan Bythewood, you know, whose cousin Reggie was a writer on New York Undercover. I first met Dan on the set of New York
Undercover. New York Undercover. Yeah. Shout out to New York.
30-year anniversary this year, by the way.
So you still keep in touch with DiLorenzo?
Yo, tomorrow.
Michael
I gotta leave because we're doing Tamron Hall tomorrow, the whole cast.
Oh, because it's so funny. Morning. I became friends with DiLorenzo in LA. He would come and see me at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah,
we became cool as hell. I used to be like, yo, Mike DiLorenzo.
He's in town. He's in town.
He's right the nicest dude. Oh, and he used to be like, yo, God. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. That was one of the best shows. It was so dope.
Was
and
dope.
And you know, hip hop was huge.
Gritty.
And then hip-hop. It was like you guys had the hip hop vibe.
Yeah.
You were young cops. I said, dude, I want to be on that show, man. Yeah. God.
But back to the power of storytelling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
back to the power of representation. And so, yeah, man, it's a good time to. And look, man, you know, learning every day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
You know, you said the world is at your fingertips with Google and God, now ChatGPT or Gemini, any kind of AI platform. There's no excuse not to know stuff.
Yeah.
And to put yourself out there so that you can learn and grow. And so, you know, I have to come back and do the part two.
No, come and do part two whenever.
Three, four, five,
six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Come on, tell them.
Try to tell the people.
Tell them now.
That's what we're going to do.
That way.
Every time I try to tell the motherfucker, that what the motherfucker said, man. Motherfucker said,
right. And you know people going to be in the street like, hey, man, yo, come here, man. I saw Malik, yo, man, yo, shit, man. That shit was dope in the motherfucker, man. I thought that nigga was dead. I never seen that motherfucker. I didn't know he was doing all that, bro.
Yeah, man. Just
Malik, you gotta come back, though.
You have
one
to.
Of the, one of the things that, you know.
I got, I'm going
to
be on TV tomorrow. I got to look, you know.
Tamron Hall, that's going to be fire.
Godfrey and I are talking about this and just trying to get voices that where we can uplift people because the platform, I mean, Godfrey busts his ass. This is not my platform, but he busts his ass to get this platform. And it's 500,000 people on this platform. And there's voices that need to be heard that where we just want people to come on.
I can help you monetize this, bro. I'm working on that right now.
Well, whatever you can do, my friend.
No, seriously.
No, I'm not fucking around.
You're
going to help me monetize this differently than what YouTube does or something?
I'm just telling you this.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Why don't we go into our secret black plan?
No, listen.
And not tell
you. Listen, there's again, do That's we awesome. On YouTube? I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know what? I don't know if you know.
Bet.
I'm trying. You know what I'm trying to get on? I'm trying to get Mark Lamont Hill. If you know anybody that knows Mark Lamont Hill, please, you know him.
Yeah.
I've been trying to.
That's my man. That's the dude, too. I don't got his number, though.
You know, I know he's from Philly, but he's like a Brooklyn implant.
Let's see. Hold on. Where's he at?
Yo, Mark Lamont.
Because it was crazy. I was actually.
Yeah.
Mark Lamont is not. Mark Lamont is. He's jumped.
Because after the whole thing with. The black network, the black
BNC, the guy took the money out from
that. They took the money out of that. So Mark has his own platform. He has a YouTube channel.
On YouTube, yeah.
And he just smoked.
That's white dude. Oh, you know, it's Warren Beatty's son.
Warren Beatty's son. He just smoked
Warren Beatty's.
But I've been trying to get in contact with him. I wanted to bring him on. I wanted to bring that sister. And I just want to bring these voices that really, because people listen and their voices need to be heard.
Warren Beatty's son. As soon as he started talking, the guy's name was Bay. I go, oh, that's Warren Beatty's son. Because he goes, I know your father is a famous. I said, and you know, to some of these, sometimes.
Yeah, he debates the guy about the black, because they said that the black national anthem doesn't exist.
James Weldon Johnson. And he just, and it's some of these white dudes that, and he said, I've been a cop. I was in the civil rights, and I used to fight for.
In other words, I have a black friend.
But you're still saying fucked up shit about black people.
I'm cutting this shit.
I want to say this. Malik Yoba, have a great, great show tomorrow on Tamron.
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
I'll come back after I come back from Africa. We'll talk about that.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yes. You want to give your plugs quick before you
give you if you want to plug your any plugs you want to say? Hey, my Yoba Realty, whatever.
There's a movie on Tubi called Snatched that's out right now.
Snatched on Tubi? Okay, Snatched on Tubi, yes.
What else?
Fuck the real estate shit.
Real estate.
Yeah, what, Yoba Development?
Yeah,
Yoba. Follow Yoba Development on Instagram.
Yes.
Follow me on Instagram. Yes. It's under my name.
Yeah.
And I'll be following you.
Hell yeah.
Into Dark Alley, fucking your own niggas.
It was a pleasure, bro.
Pleasure, man.
Pleasure, man. All day, big bro. That's real talk.
And we're going to send this to Kieran.
We're going to send this game. Like, yes, man, that was great. Yo, we're going to take a little break after this. That was Malik Yoba, legendary New York Undercover 31st anniversary. Watch him on Tamron Hall tomorrow, guys. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I forgot to tell y'all.
Oh, what?
We're about to go on tour with the cast and musicians from the show. So that's what we're going to announce tomorrow on Tamron's show.
Really?
Yeah. We got to give it back to the people.
Yeah. Hell
so
yeah.
One thing we can own is the moment. We may not own the IP, but we can own the moment.
Man, I wanted a remake.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Word. Malik Yoba, yo. Malik Yoba.
Amen. Now you with the guard. I say you with the guard free. Now you with the guard. I say you with the guard free. He ain't playing around with none of these lanes, but I guarantee you'll be entertained and watch him drop some knowledge on your brain.